Welcome to ID the Future. I'm Andrew McDermott. Today we have with us philosopher of biology Paul Nelson, adjunct professor at Biola University and a senior fellow of the Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. I'm excited to have him on the show today because he's attending a scientific conference that's all the buzz, both in the ID community and among the origin science community generally. It's hosted by the Royal Society, and it's called New Trends in Evolutionary Biology: Biological, Philosophical, and Social Science Perspectives. So what's the buzz? Well, the word on the street is that it's going to involve some very mainstream and some very prominent biologists. And in the course of the meeting, there might be a call for some rethinking of the modern evolutionary synthesis. Will they toss neo-Darwinism out on its ear? Will they simply tinker with things and then declare victory and go home? Will anyone dare speak those two words that must not be named, intelligent design? And will anything of importance come of the meeting? Intelligent design theorist Paul Nelson will be attending the event, and he's here with me to answer our questions. Welcome, Paul.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
So, Paul, how is this event officially being billed?
Well, here's what it says on the Royal Society webpage. Quote, "Developments in evolutionary biology and adjacent fields have produced calls for revision of the standard theory of evolution, although the issues involved remained hotly contested," unquote. That is, I think, from my overview of the speakers and their topics, an accurate description of the meeting, but there's a subtext that's not expressed. And I can briefly sketch that as follows. A number of the speakers are going to go after key premises of neo-Darwinian theory, which neo-Darwinians themselves will be unwilling to surrender. One of those is fundamental randomness. In other words, the kinds of changes, variations, mutations, and so forth, that give rise to novelty in the evolutionary process must occur randomly, that is, without respect to their outcome, without respect to the fitness value they might have for an organism. And several of the speakers, for instance, Jim Shapiro from the University of Chicago, and Dennis Noble, a leading physiologist in the United Kingdom, will be challenging that premise. That is a non-negotiable for most neo-Darwinians. It certainly was a non-negotiable for Darwin, largely, I think, for philosophical reasons. So on that point and a couple of others, there will be fireworks, I expect. Or let me put it this way, I hope. It would be a great disappointment to me to fly all the way to London to find a meeting where nothing happens.
Wow. So it sounds like randomness is certainly going to be on the table for discussion. Well, how will neo-Darwinians try to spin this, make it seem like it's just all part of the process?
Well, I expect two major reactions. I think the first will be simply to ignore what happens. Oscar Wilde had a quip, I don't think I can get it exactly, but the gist of it was, the only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about. And a variant of that would be, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference. So if one is indifferent to what happens in London next week, simply give it no attention, that robs the event of publicity, that robs the event of scrutiny, and something that no one hears about ends up having no impact at all. So let me put it this way, to be sort of crassly pragmatic about it. If I were a neo-Darwinian, I would simply let the thing pass without a comment. The other major reaction would be to trivialize it. So an evolutionary skeptic in good standing is P.Z. Myers, whose Pharyngula blog is widely read. And in January this year, his comment was, this will be a tiny cadre of weirdos, quote unquote. They will seize upon random fringe ideas to distract themselves from reality. And lastly, the participants wish to open up a crack to mystical, magical phenomena. Now, those are his critical remarks. In the same blog entry, he indicates that he would like to attend the meeting. There's the potential of it being very, very interesting. So he expresses a kind of ambivalence about it. I think the bottom line for P.Z. Myers, though, is that this is likely to be much ado about nothing, or if it's not, the something that it would be about is not worth paying attention to. I think both of those responses, ignoring and trivializing, really miss the boat, because at least several of the talks are going to raise issues that need to be addressed by neo-Darwinian theory. In particular, I think this assumption of randomness. If it turns out, as Jim Shapiro and others will argue, that organismal variation is not random, in other words, that the variations and changes that we see in species are in some sense purposeful or directed, that is a deep challenge to a premise that has been really unquestioned in mainstream evolutionary theory since the time of Darwin. And frankly, if you give that evidence, and I hope they present good evidence, if you give that evidence half a chance, it leads you out of what I think is a materialist understanding of living things. In fact, I think it leads you ultimately towards intelligent design. So we'll see. I'm hoping the meeting lives up to its billing and is as interesting as I would like it to be. And if that happens, I think neo-Darwinian biologists are going to have to take it seriously and respond in kind.
So it has the potential to be historic, but only if the participants and the community are willing.
Exactly. This is going to be a test case, if you will, in the ability of evolutionary biology to respond both to its internal and external critics. So a number of the speakers are philosophers of biology like myself, who have thought very hard about what evolutionary theory needs to do really to explain the evidence within its purview. And external critics of a theory need to be listened to, because after all, they represent the larger community to which evolutionary biologists speak.
But will intelligent design get a fair shake?
I don't think so, and here's why. Despite the diversity of scientific and philosophical opinion represented in the roster of speakers, none of them, not a single speaker, challenges the basic materialist or naturalistic framework within which modern biology is conducted. That is a bridge too far, so to speak. And that's disappointing, but it's entirely to be expected, because what really sets the boundaries for admissible dissent with respect to evolution isn't the theory of evolution itself as a scientific proposition. Rather, it's a much deeper underlying philosophy that says when we come to explain the world, our toolkit is limited ultimately to natural regularities and chance processes. Intelligence as a separate causal category that cannot be reduced to physical processes or material processes is simply off the table, as it has been really since the middle of the 19th century and the Darwinian Revolution. And I think that will be for the intelligent design theorists who are attending, like myself, that really will be, in a sense, the wall of the city. Recently, the ENV blog carried a post talking about the city of materialism. And it's a helpful metaphor, because you can think on the model of a medieval capital or a medieval town.
Yeah.
A high impregnable wall, and maybe a moat that surrounds that wall, within which one is a citizen, outside of which one is a barbarian. And what would be most interesting to me, but what I least expect, frankly, is for some speaker or for some audience member to say, why is materialism the unquestioned premise of this event? Because I think there are unmistakable indications in the phenomena of biology that information stemming from a mind, is the essence of biology, that you cannot understand biology without the concept of information. And the kind of information we're talking about derives uniquely from intelligence. Intelligence that is irreducible to physical processes. It's a radical thesis, because materialism at a deep level has dominated biological understanding since the Darwinian Revolution. So I'm sorry, that's a kind of a long-winded answer, but this meeting will show what can be done within the walls of materialism. But those of us in the intelligent design research community are standing outside those walls, and we're saying, you've got to join us out here, because what you're trying to explain requires that you leave that city.
Yeah, the barbarians, right? They're standing outside waiting.
Well, The funny thing about being a barbarian is it's really not so bad, and many of us were trained within that city. You know, my graduate work and my participation in various scientific organizations pretty much all occurs within the city of materialism, but then at the end of the day, I quietly slip through a hole in the wall and make my way out to the other barbarians who are actually rather civilized and enjoy some fine wine around a campfire. But we're definitely outside the city walls. The funny thing is, you don't lose anything by leaving. To stick with the city metaphor, you don't lose anything. And I think if scientists and philosophers can come to see that there's nothing lost by expanding your sphere of possible causes, then half of our battle as design theorists is won.
Well, that's a great analogy. Several ID theorists, actually, as you mentioned, will be attending the meeting and then gathering in Cambridge after it for a conference to discuss the implications called Beyond Materialism, Biology for the 21st Century. What are you hoping will come out of this conference of intelligent design proponents?
I'm hoping that we can show that we, first of all, will have more fun, and again, that nothing will be lost, that everything of value empirically, every well-supported mechanism and process discussed in London will be on the table for us to use in our explanations, in our Cambridge talks, but that we will have access conceptually to a greater range of possibilities. Again, my contention has been for the past decade that allowing for the possibility of intelligent design as a genuine cause in science takes nothing away from science, because every natural regularity, either known today or yet to be discovered, is still there waiting to be found or waiting to be used if it's already been found. Yet intelligence as a kind of cause brings to the table explanatory possibilities that you cannot get from strictly material or physical processes. So, I'm hoping, quite honestly, that we have more fun on our Saturday, November 12th in Cambridge. And if any of the podcast listeners are in the UK and can jump on a train to Cambridge, I think there are still openings at that meeting. They can go ahead and register online at beyondmaterialism.com and come out and meet us. Have a great time.
Sounds awesome. Well, thanks, Paul, for taking the time to speak with us. We wish you the best as you cross the pond and participate in these significant events.
I'm really looking forward to it.
For ID the Future, I'm Andrew McDermott. Thanks for tuning in.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2016. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org or idthefuture.com.